Now, this other bill that's coming before the House I'm a big fan of this bill. I think I already said I'm a big fan of this bill. It's about drug reform, if you want to take it like that. It's been introduced as a bill by Kohurangi Kata, of course, from the Green Party. Basically, it's designed to ensure no one hesitates to call for help during an overdose by protecting emergency callers from prosecution for low-level drug offences. And Kohurangi joins me on the line now. Welcome, Kohurangi.
Morena, Matthew.
Morena. Now, I got to ask you, this is completely unrelated to anything we wanted to talk to you about today. Pūhā and pork bones or hangi, which one would you prefer?
Oh man, this is the question. probably a hangi, but either is like, you know.
I'll take either.
Well,
we're going to reveal all about why that's such an important question later on. But I mean, Lalangi and I have been kicking off the show this morning talking about the other issue of the day. Horse meat pies out in South Auckland or steak and cheese. I'm clearly a steak and cheese man. But anyway, hey, let's talk about this bill. It is really important. I mean, I was in a role with the government a few years back where I saw drug overdoses for people who were attempting to take their lives. And for whatever reason, and I won't go into the details of it, this seems to me to be something that is one of those big issues overlooked, but everyone can cohabitate around. Would that be fair?
Yeah, kia ora, and thank you for your mahi, and thank you to all those first responders and all those people who are out there supporting our whānau who have mental health, mental ill health. It's massive mahi, and it's something that this bill reflects, actually, that we know that most New Zealanders now consider drug addiction as a health issue, not a justice issue. And my law is actually to look at the fact that almost three people every week in New Zealand die of an accidental, treatable drug overdose. Mm. When I heard those statistics, I was like, what is going on? And we know no one should die from a drug overdose. No one should be scared to call for help when they or someone
I honestly don't think that anyone who is overdosing thought that they would overdose, you know? I mean, whether it's an addiction-related overdose or whatever it might be, I think the reality is a lot of people never intended for that to occur or to happen.
And with the increase in potency of what's coming into our market, that's why it's so important that we have things like drug checking at music festivals. Drugs are here. Sure, we might not agree on what drugs should be legal or illegal, but I hope that we can all agree that if someone needs life-preserving medical care, that the people that they are with are not scared to call police or help because of fear of getting arrested themselves or for the person who's actually overdosing because of the shame and stigma that comes from being in this situation. And the really important thing about people calling for help as well is that then they can be referred to services that can support them to not be on drugs, you know? Mm. I think that...
Well, it's the help they need, right? They're looking for help. I mean, I've got a pile in there because I'm different to Dale. When I undertook the coronial inquiry back in, I think it was 2022, one of the things I pondered, because I was also director of the Suicide Prevention Office at the time, one of the things I pondered was those who took their lives as a result of overdosing. I often pondered whether or not they intended for the act to have been final. I drew the conclusion that the answer was probably not, mainly because it was a help-seeking mechanism on the one hand, and on the other hand, there was obviously something going on in their lives, whether it was social, whether it was around family, around work, around stress, around health, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. I always tend to err on the side that it should be about helping somebody first versus judging them in the first instance. Would that be a fair way of describing it?
Yeah, kia ora, absolutely. And this is a really small law change, and I'm really aware that we still have so much work in our communities to do so that young people or anyone using opioids to cope with the existence of life in an economic system where people feel the need to escape. There is so much more to do, but this is just a really small law change that means that people are able to save lives and call for help, because the point is that they are too scared to call for help, and the help comes too late. That means that people aren't getting that life-preserving
care. Often people don't know how to ask for help. Often people are too scared because their circumstances are such that they don't have any other option. I'm going to give you one more example. I mean, I remember being in an emergency room where this young, I'll say it, brown boy, a young fella of colour, he overdosed. He ended up in the emergency room and he was treated as just another drug addict. So his treatment pathway went the way of that. And yet what he was struggling with, because I sat down and talked with him in the emergency room, what he was dealing with was his identity, his sexual orientation, all that sort of thing. He didn't know what to do or who to talk to. My point is that the treatment pathway in that instance was going to be one way if there hadn't have been an intervention of somebody who kind of like recognised that actually, you know what, this young fella, he might just be struggling with stuff.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up, and thank you for sitting and talking with him, because we've got some identified groups who we know are overrepresented in suicide statistics, and we know the ones who do reach out for help or know about pathways to support, and then we know about the ones that don't even reach out for support, that are, you know, just masking and hiding what they're going through. And that's men. That is our men. And we need to do a lot more work in that space. I know that, like, Mates in Construction does amazing work. They're doing, you know, they've got one person dies of suicide in that construction industry in New Zealand every week. And 98% of those are men, and we know that hardly any of them reach out for support. So there's so much work to do in our mental health space. And then you look at our young people, and our suicide rates are shameful. And currently we have a government who is cutting prevention services all across the board, and that means that people who were already struggling to reach out for help have even less options for that. And so we need to make sure that we are funding things that work. We need to make sure that people know where to get access to support and to help, and to have them in culturally appropriate ways. You know, we know that with my bill that you know, there's almost three people that die a week of that accidental treatable drug overdose. And we also know that it is Māori and Pacific people who are almost three times more likely to do this, to die in this way. And so there is a lot of things that we need to be doing in this country, because it's a beautiful country, and we need to support each other. And that's what bringing humanity and common sense back into politics will do. It will make lives better, and it will save a lot of heartache and pain for families, for people who are going through it, and for our communities. So anyone out there who has experienced this or is experiencing tough times, please do reach out. Please, there is help out there for you, and you're important, and we want you in this world. Because there's only one of you.
Absolutely. Now, two quick fire round questions. completely related to the bill. Number one, you've got yeah. Labor, you've got Te Pāti Māori, the Greens and ACT at first reading. Are there any other parties that might come across the line and support this? I mean, I would have thought it's a pretty simple fix, right?
Yeah, well, I left the door open for National and New Zealand First to really, they don't have to believe me. This is now in Select Committee. They can believe, they can look at, listen to the experts, they can listen to the first responders, they can listen to the people with lived experience and read some of that research that shows, because basically their two rebuttals were, police have discretion, so we trust police. And I said, yeah, but when people aren't even calling for help, that is a moot argument. They're not calling for help, so police or can't offer any kind of discretion.
Well, you know, to be fair,
we
could have a whole nother conversation about discretionary powers and police and pop. We could have that whole conversation.
We don't have that.
We're a minute before the news. Hey, just quickly, the bill's going to head to Select Committee.
It sure is.
Is this the opportunity for whānau to get behind the bill to make sure they put their submissions in? If so, how do they do that?
Yeah, well, submissions don't take a long time.
No.
You go onto the Parliament website, and you know, we all learnt a lot about submissions through the that Treaty Principles Bill. So go in there, whānau, you say whether that you support the bill, and then you can give a reason why, and we'll work on a submission guide as well from the Greens. So you can go to my Instagram or Facebook, you know, those kind, or the Green Party website, and you'll find some help to fill out those submissions.
Absolutely, and we'll put it up there as well. Now, we're going to have to love you and leave you. But for all of those who are tuning in, all those who have been tuning in, if you want to talk to someone in free, call or text 1737. Don't be afraid to reach out. Whatever you do, don't ring the Hosking's talkback line. Kahurangi Carter, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate everything you do, and certainly we'll be following the story. Kia ora.
Appreciate you, Māori Ora.